God. Whew, it's been a while. What day is it? The 12th of what, June? August? Oh my God, when was the last time I did an episode? May? Oh, I'm so far behind, I can't even begin to... What was the episode even... The pit. I just did a rerun. The pit. I did the pit. So the last time I did an episode of this show was May 23rd, and it was about the Bears picnic. What was I thinking? What even was I thinking? I should have had. All right. Let's see if I can pick up wherever in the heck I left off. Do we have a book? Oh, a little gifty book here in. I totally missed it. I guess I'm going to have to do it now. It's the Berenstain Bears, world's best Papa Bear. So, get ready, because there's not a whole lot to say about it. Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I am your host, Phil Gonzalez, and this week I'm back. Yes, I'm firmly back. Some people wrote to me. I felt very nice about that. And they were like, is the show done? Did you just finish the show? Did you cancel the show? And you know what? For a hot minute, I actually considered just walking away from this show. I felt very much like, does anyone care? Would anyone notice if I disappeared? Come to find out, people had noticed. They just weren't saying anything to me, which is very strange. Not a single one of my friends was like, did you stop doing the bear? No, I had to bring it up myself. Turns out there were people who would like to hear more, at least have me finish out the entire Berenstain Bears. Ooh. So here I am. I'm back. I'm Phil Gonzalez. What was I doing in the meantime? I spent the whole summer working on my Fringe show that premiered a couple of weeks back at the Minnesota Fringe Festival. It went very well. I'll be performing again in September in Elgin. Don't worry. I'm not planning on taking another 2.5 months off. However, it really did give me time to stop and reflect and think about the show and about creativity and what it is I'm doing and what it is I want to do. And then to take all those thoughts, all those things I thought of, stuff them way down inside, pack them all away, and never think about them again. I never have to worry about them ever again. It's just something I don't ever have to think about. I just keep robotically doing what I do for your benefit, for the benefit of the Bears, for the benefit of the Bear Books, for the benefit of the family of lovable, rumbly, roly-poly, tumbly-scrumbly Berenstain Bears. And this week's book is 2024's The Berenstain Bears... World's Best Papa Bear. Let's take a look at that. Ooh, World's Best Papa Bear for a Bear-y special dad. Now, if you remember, we did World's Wisest Mama Bear in May. We did World's Wisest Mama Bear in May, and it was essentially just sort of a bunch of recycled images of Mama Bear from recent-ish Berenstain Bears books, and this book is no different. This is a book you buy to give as a gift, specifically. And I can vouch for that because... If you look in the opening, it actually has, just like the Mama Bear book, it has a to and from page to write down the name of whoever you're giving this to. I assume mom from whoever is giving it to, or I assume you. But like the Mama Bear book, it's hard. It makes a bing, it makes a bang. If you hit it on your head, it hurts. Not that much, but it does hurt. If you hit it enough times, that was a bad move. Bad move on my part. Shouldn't keep hitting myself in the head with this book. And like the Mama Bear book, the end pages are the pattern of the parent bear's top or shirt, blouse, whatever it is Mama wears. As Alana is fond of saying, Mama's shmata. So this is Papa Bear's yellow checked sort of shirt thingy with the butterfly collar that he has always on underneath his overalls. And it's cool. I like these end papers. I wouldn't wallpaper a room in these end papers, but I would certainly use it as wrapping paper. I don't know. It's a neat pattern and it's cool because it looks hand drawn. So, which I'm sure it is. That's it. Again, there's very little to say about this book. So what is this book? First of all, this book is only available in a physical copy. You can only buy the physical edition of this book. I'm sort of flipping it around and showing it to people who are looking at this on YouTube. I don't know why. Like, I'm sure they believe me at this point. Like, I won't believe. You better give us some proof this book is available in hardback, because otherwise we're not going to believe a single. Well, here it is. Here it is in hardback, ready to be shipped out to you. Like the previous book, it is, what, like 35 pages long, 36 pages long. It's a quick read. In fact, I'll read it to you. Right now, the world's best Papa Bear for a Berry Special Dad by Mike Berenstain, 2024. We love you, Papa. You always put our family first and make us feel so special. You give the best bear hugs and tell the funniest jokes. You show us the importance of hard work and having fun. You teach us about right and wrong and how to share and care for others. You are the best dad in the world. That's the whole book. That's the entirety of the book. But it's not available online. Like, it's not available as a digital version, because I can't show you at home every single page digitally. I'm going to do something special. So the show I worked on for and did at the Minnesota Fringe dealt a lot with my teenhood, but it also dealt a lot with my dad. My, for all intents and purposes, my Papa Bear. He wasn't a major character in the story, but he was woven in and out of the narrative. And a lot of the story was, I'm not going to go into it, but it dealt a lot with some bad things that were happening in my life and that I wasn't aware of, and how my father was always there protecting me from them without my knowledge, just sort of seeming like an overbearing parent, but at the end of the day, actually operating in a protective capacity. My mom too, but I mostly noticed my dad because he was so present and there. And it was as I've gotten older, I've looked back on my childhood and realized that part of being a parent is trying to figure out how much space to give your kids, how much you let them fail or you let them get hurt, you let them make mistakes. But sometimes you can't do that because that's like literally criminally irresponsible. And sometimes you just got to keep an eye out. Like, you know, if you know something's wrong, but you can't put your finger on it, then you've got to, if not step in, if you're not sure where to step in, at least make your presence known. Let everyone around you and around your kid know that you're there, that you're an active participant in this kid's life. It'll annoy the kid to no end at times, and if they're a teenager especially, because they'll be like, get out of my business, Dad. But that itself, those actions can do so much towards just warding off the negativity around your kid. If people know there's someone there who loves that kid and protects that kid and is looking out for that kid, it's kind of like shoplifting. If you say hello to a customer when they enter their store, they're far less likely to shoplift because they know that someone's looking at them. Same thing about being a dad. Introduce yourself to your kid's friends. You introduce yourself to your kid's teachers. You show up unexpectedly at times just so they know that you're around. You're there. That is if you want to be that kind of a parent. If you don't want to be that kind of a parent, I can't do anything about it. I'm not the god of parents. I'm just telling you. So over the course of the show, I really worked out a lot of things with my father, and to the extent that some people who saw it were like, wow, this guy's dad, like he didn't even know, but his dad was there. And so I'm dedicating this episode to my dad because I'm going to walk through this book a little bit. I'm just going to point out some of the stuff that my dad did that they call out in this book because, you know, my dad and I don't see eye to eye on most things, many things, a lot of things, very many things, but he's a good guy. So it says, we love you, Papa. Well, that's true. I do love my father. And it says, we love you, Papa. So I assume, I can guess, I think I have a picture of that. So, nope, I do have a picture of, I skipped ahead. Nope, I don't have a picture of that. So I'll just hold it up. We love you, Papa. And I love my father, and so does his wife, my mom, and so does my sister. So there you go. Like, that's taken care of. That's not a lie. You always put our family first. Now, I don't know exactly what that means. First before what? Like, I guess work? I mean, not necessarily. Like, if my dad had to work, he was going to work. He had to work. He was in charge of a lot of people before he retired. He was the health and safety manager of the Houston Post Office, and he was there to make sure that people didn't get killed on the job. So it was a good thing that he, you know, didn't just hang out at the house so he could be around us all the time. But he did work very hard. He still works very hard. I mean, when he gets a chance to do something, he puts his mind to it, and he goes out and he does it. My father's a very hard worker, puts his family first, but putting your family first sometimes means not being there because you're having to pay the bills. So yes, I would say my father put his family first. And you make us feel so special. My dad did make me feel special. Sometimes he made me feel a little too special, just in the sense that I wish sometimes that he would back off, but he didn't. And as I said up top, that was important. And I know now why he was doing that. It's because he loved me and he wanted me to be safe. And he knew that I didn't always make the best decisions and I wasn't always looking out for myself. So he was kind of there keeping an eye out. He made me feel special. I would say my father made me feel special. My mom too. They did a lot of stuff for me and my sister in our childhoods. And talked to us a lot about our strengths, things we were really good at, and my sister and I are very good at different things. So when it was time for my sister to be, you know, talked up on the stuff that she particularly excelled at, they really made it known those were her talents. That was what those were the things that set her apart from other people. And me too. When I started getting an aptitude for acting, when I started getting an aptitude for performing in general, writing. Even when I still made good grades, they knew I was super good at like learning. I just wasn't very good at making grades. But they always made me feel like even though I was bad at making grades, that it wasn't because I wasn't intelligent. It wasn't because I didn't deserve the good grades. They didn't know why. It was because I had undiagnosed ADHD and I couldn't pay attention in class and my mind would wander constantly. But as far as they knew, it wasn't because of any like flaw of mine. It was just, you know, I mean, okay, back then they would say like, you're not working hard enough, and that certainly didn't help, but it still made me feel special. I was the smart kid who didn't make good grades. Something pretty special about that. You give the best bossed you give the best bear hugs. Does my dad give really good bear hugs? I don't know. He doesn't give huge hugs. My dad is a hugger though. He will hug. He gives the best dad hugs I've ever had. I used to be a big bear hugger when I was younger, and people told me to stop. Not always appreciated. People don't always like big hugs. And tell the funniest jokes. Now, my dad doesn't. It's not that my dad's not a funny guy. He's not a dad joker. My dad's not frivolous or jokey. He's a fairly serious guy. He enjoys a laugh. People love being around him. I mean, people love being around my dad. He's gregarious. He's a good raconteur. He loves to tell a story. He's just not a joker. He doesn't tell what I would say were the best jokes. However, I am going to share with you a joke that my dad taught me when I was a kid. One of the rare ones. But it's not very good, but for some reason it stuck with me because even when I was little, I was all, I get it. I get it. Like, I get it. All right. I don't actually remember what the setup was. Something about a guy paints an S on a car. And then someone says, look at that S car go. And it had something to do with S car go. That's literally it. I can't remember beyond that. I don't remember how the rest of the joke went. Just know that somebody painted an S on the side of a car. And then somebody else said, look at that S car go. And I guess it made sense in the context of the joke, but I don't know. Thanks, Dad. That one really stuck with me. You show us the importance of hard work. Yes, my father did definitely emphasize the importance of hard work. Sometimes, well, up to and including making me get up at 7 in the morning on a Saturday so that I could mow the lawn with him. He really wanted me to learn how to mow the lawn appropriately, which I mean appropriately, because my idea of how to mow a lawn is very different from my father's idea of how to mow a lawn. And you might be thinking to yourself, oh, like the quality or the amount. No, it's just that my father is a spiral mower and I'm a back and forth mower, always have been. And so my father would teach me, you spiral in towards the center of the lawn. But I was like, why don't I just go back and forth? And he was like, absolutely not. Never, never. You never mow the lawn that way. To this day, I still don't know why my father doesn't want me to mow the lawn that way. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe in Texas, there's more like stripedies. Like if you mow the lawn back and forth, you're going to end up with a striped lawn. And I know that some like HOAs don't let you do that or something. I don't know. But here in the great state of Minnesota, our grass is like whatever can struggle to the surface. Some years our lawn is like mostly clover and like unidentifiable fungus. So you never know what's going to grow up here, but it certainly isn't anything that's going to make a discernible pattern when you mow it. Our lawn is actually, it grows seemingly different types of grass at random in random patches. Like there's some patches that grow really long and lush, but then right next to them is just like sort of hard scrabble. Like nothing makes sense in our lawn. I don't live in Texas where lawns grow 365 days a year. I don't live in Texas where there is one specific type of lawn grass that grows to a specific length and that you shave off the top of and it makes like a flat carpet across your front lawn. Like, I don't live in that kind of an area. Dad, sorry. I still understand the value of hard work, though. Sort of. I did work hard on my show. I will admit that. I worked hard on my show. I think I accidentally skipped to the last page. He taught us about having fun. My dad did believe in having fun with the family. We always went on trips. Once a year, we would go down to South Padre Island, to Mustang Island, which is just right by South Padre Island. Stay on Mustang Island for the annual water board meeting. My father was on the water board. And the families could come, but fortunately, all the dads in the area were on the water board, and so all their families came, which meant that a bunch of my friends would also be there. And so we'd spend like a long weekend down in South Padre at this really nice resort that they would, like, it was like condos like that they would put us up in. So they were full like kitchen, like little apartments, and they had these massive. I remember this place had Port Royal. I think it was called the Port Royal, something like that. Had four swimming pools connected by waterfalls, like these like traversable waterfalls. It was so rad that even someone like me who did not swim enjoyed hanging out in those swimming pools, I'll tell you right now. Didn't even go to the ocean. We were right on the ocean. It's like, no, there's living things in the ocean. The only living things I want in the water with me are kids my age. So my dad made sure we had fun. We also did a lot of stuff that my parents thought were fun, like going to like weird museums that we didn't understand, but that's just being a kid. You teach us about right and wrong. Now, my father, here, I'll show you the picture because it's Brother Bear and Sister and Honey having something explained to them by their parents. My dad did teach me the difference between right and wrong. Unfortunately, or just interestingly, you know, my father's idea of right and wrong is different from my idea of right and wrong. Our values departed at some point in our lives. What I consider important in the world, important for other people, it just seemed to be fairly different from my father's. But he did teach me, so even though his idea of right and wrong might differ from mine, he did teach me the importance of having a sense of right and wrong, a value of right and wrong, and sticking to that value, even if it does differ from his own. I think it was more important that I developed my values and stuck to them, that I be a person like that. And although sometimes I'm wishy-washy about my values, I think I know what I consider right and consider wrong. I don't always abide by them, but I always regret it. I'll tell you that right now, Dad. I always regret it when I do wrong. And how to share and care for others. Yeah, I mean, growing up, my family, I remember once asking my parents, why don't you guys ever buy any new music for yourselves? And I remember my mom and dad saying, well, because we have kids, and so we buy you guys everything. And although I believe that that's a little much, I don't believe that, you know, a parent should deny themselves everything they want in the world just for their kids. I think kids should also learn their parents are people too. I do remember my parents expressing that sense of sacrifice they were making in a very diplomatic way, in that way. The sense that there was a level of caring that they put on us just in the day-to-day. There were things my sister and I never had to think about or worry about because my parents just made sure they were there and they were taken care of. I mean, you know, my father would talk about his father sometimes and how his father was a man who just believed that your only responsibility was putting food on the table and a roof over the kids' house. And after that, you didn't have to worry about love or affection or caring. And I believe my father spent most of his time raising us trying to prove that point, that there was more to being a parent than just providing the essentials. And part of that is the sharing and the caring. So you did it, Dad. And then you are the best dad ever is the final page. And we see Papa and Mama and the three kids sitting arm in arm, their backs to us in front of a burning fireplace, roaring fireplace. And you are the best dad ever. Is my father the best dad ever? I could say yes, but that would exclude me. Who is the best dad? I am probably history's greatest father. I believe if you had to rank us, it would be me, God the Father, and then just it's a sharp drop off after that. So sorry, Dad, like Snow White's evil queen, you have been displaced by your own child, your own progeny. Or she's not really her stepmother. She's a stepmother. You're not my stepfather. But you are like the queen. Every day my father looks in the mirror and says, mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the best dad of all? And then one day it was like, sorry, dude. And that's when my father tried to have me killed and why I moved up to Minnesota. I don't mean to tell stories out of school, but that is the God's honest truth. He sent a huntsman with me into the woods. He was supposed to cut out my heart, but instead he cut out the heart of a deer. And I went to live with seven men who I lived with for a long time until I fell asleep one day and a boy came, kissed me full on the mouth. I wasn't knocked out. I wasn't unconscious. I was just asleep. It was really weird. I do not know how he got into my house. Very uncomfortable. Didn't know the guy. But I was like, guys, it's probably time I move out of this house. And the seven guys I was living with were like, sure, you haven't been paying rent for years. You're essentially a squatter. None of us like you. But whenever we would try to talk to you about moving, you would get really threatening. So that's when I moved out. Seven little men moved up to Minnesota. I was like, oh, my dad doesn't try to send a huntsman to kill me. That's the story of my life. That's what my one man show was about. I'm kidding. So that's the world's best dad. I mean, that's the world's best Papa Bear. It ends with more end pages. And then there's a back cover, I guess. Show Papa Bear how much you care with this affordable gift book. Perfect for Papa Bears everywheres. And then on the back is an ad for World's Wisest Mama Bear. So that's World's Best Papa Bear. You know what? It's probably for the best that this was such an easy episode because I'm just getting back into the swing of things. Not really used to being talking about the bears again. So yes, that's it. If you live in Illinois, by the way, and you want to come see my show, I'll be posting links to my Elgin show. I'm doing three performances in Elgin, Illinois. And it's going to be different than the one I did in Minnesota because I've got some new ideas banging around in my skull. So you viewers are special children who would get to see. I mean, I don't know if any of you live in Illinois. I don't know if anyone lives in Illinois. I don't even know where it is. Over there somewhere, I assume. I don't need to know. I have Google Maps. My father used to have a key map. You know what those were? Key was a company. They made those books of map. It was like a book, spiral-bound book of a whole city. So we had key map of Houston and its surrounding environs. And if you needed to know where a place was, you'd find the address, and you'd look up the street in the index. And then it would tell you which page it was on and, like, which which area of the page. You find it, and then, of course, the page is all connected through a numerical system. So you'd have to flip back, but it was a way of having a very detailed map of an area, just right in, like, a book that would fit in your glove compartment. I miss those map books. They were very useful. I mean, you had to update them by hand, unless you wanted to just buy a new one every year. But my dad always had the map book because he worked in emergency services. He was an emergency EMS. He was an emergency firefighter. So he had to know his areas. He had to know his maps. I assume if you're a firefighter, it's easy. You just look for the smoke. If you're an EMS, you just look for the screaming or the blood. So I guess the map was just there in case. You head in the general area, you listen for screaming, you look for the blood, you watch for the smoke, and that's the way it goes. That's the way it goes. That's it. Okay, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for being a part of this. My name is Phil Gonzalez. I'm back in the action, back in the saddle, suckers. So if you like this, if you like what I do, sorry, this isn't going to last much longer. We're running low on books. So join me next time when I'll be back with more Berenstain Bear magic. And goodness, I'm going to have some guests. I'm going to have some parties. And I'll see you all next time deep in Bear Country.